go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, joined by Dr. Sebastian Gorka, one of the most thoughtful analysts and influential teachers on matters involving the global jihad movement. His recent books include Fighting the Ideological War, Winning Strategies from Communism to Islamism. He has also got several books forthcoming, and I might just tease them a little bit because they're going to be important insights into the challenges we're facing for sure. One is entitled Killing Jihad, the other A Citizen's Guide to War, American Military Actions in the 21st Century. He is the Major General Matthew C. Horner Distinguished Chair of Military Theory at the Marine Corps University. Dr. Gorka, welcome back, sir. It's good to have you with us.
Wonderful to be back on the show. Thank you, Frank.
Well, you have recently written what I think was one of the most trenchant pieces on a problem that we still insistently seem unwilling to acknowledge, and that is this caliphate business that the Islamic State has established, as you note, a year ago, just about now. It's celebrating its first birthday, and it's come a long way, baby, in the intervening period. First, I guess, Seb, talk a little bit about this group. The president insists on calling it ISIL. What do you call it, and what is it really about?
Well, you always have to call a threat group by what it calls itself. We call the Third Reich the Third Reich, the Soviet Union the Soviet Union. That's how you do your intelligence preparation of the battlefield. And we are facing the Islamic State, or the Caliphate, if you wish. This is the name that it calls itself after Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the head of the organization, last summer in the Grand Mosque of Mosul, no less, declared the reestablishment of the Caliphate after 90 years of absence, and himself as the Caliph, as the new emperor of the theocratic Islamic Empire. So, you know, let's call it what it is. Let's not distort the war intelligence that seems to be the fashion we have of late to allow politics into the intelligence cycle. I like to call it ISIS, or more accurately, the Islamic State, so IS style.
And why is it, Seb, that the president doesn't? Why does he refer to it with this meaningless acronym, or at least meaningless for most people's purposes?
Well, I think because of what I just mentioned, that we've had a systematic politically driven distortion of the intelligence cycle and the national security functions of the United States in the last 6 years. So we're not allowed to use the word the enemy uses about themselves. When they call themselves jihadists, we should remove reference to religion, to jihad. As we know, the deputy spokesperson of the State Department has said that there's no ideology involved. All we need are jobs for the terrorists. So we have an ideologically driven perversion of the national security function, in which certain things are forbidden, cannot be discussed, and specifically those things that allow us to understand the enemy and so defeat him. So unfortunately, it's politics that's being driven into the understanding or the analysis of the threats that America faces today.
And Seb Gorka, you have witnessed this firsthand from your teachings and training efforts inside the government. You have been, as a serious student of history, conversant for sure as to what the implications are of this kind of practice, this willful blindness, as I guess what Andy McCarthy calls it, political correctness, if you will. I'm pretty sure that what the jihadists call it is submission. What would you say to our listeners, or if he were one of them, unlikely as that may be, the president of the United States, are the risks associated with persisting in this kind of behavior?
Well, I think, you know, the way to illustrate this best is with a very simple analogy. If you went to a doctor and he used his tools to diagnose you, and he saw that you are actually suffering from a metastasizing cancer, but instead, for political reasons, he said, well, you know, you're suffering from flu. Go home and drink a lot of liquids. That's what we have right now. That individual would be committing medical malpractice, and we have the same political drive today. Don't get me wrong, Frank, the operators, the special agents, the special forces, the members of the intelligence community at the lower level that we work with, they get it, they understand it. But when their management or when the SESs, when the Schedule C political appointees are telling them, you know, remove references to the ideology of jihadism, take out the things that the bad guys say about themselves, well, that will only lead to misdiagnosis. And there is no way to defeat an enemy if you are not allowed to speak truthfully about who the enemy is and what motivates them. That's the enormity of the issue, Frank.
Indeed. Because this is a contagious disease. It's not just that the patient is dying. This is something that is going to afflict more and more of us if we persist in this. Just talk a little bit about the four characteristics of the Islamic State that you describe in this piece. And by the way, folks, you can find it at thegorkabriefing.com, a very important essay on the birthday for a caliphate. What is it that prompts you to say this outfit is in a unique class among the world of global jihad movements, and why it's imperative that we both understand it properly and deal with it properly as well?
The first thing of the four, and these are all open source, unclassified, is that IS is a fully fledged insurgency, unlike Al-Qaeda. In the last 14 years, Al-Qaeda attached itself like a parasite to indigenous pre-existing insurgencies, whether it was the Taliban in Afghanistan or Al-Shabaab in Somalia. ISIS is different. It generated its own insurgency and now holds territory greater than the territorial expanse of the United Kingdom. So this by itself puts it in a new category. And also, it's not just an international insurgency, it is a transnational one. With Boko Haram pledging fealty to Abu Bakr, we have a threat group that's operating in at least three countries, not just in the Middle East, but also West Africa. Second, it's the richest threat group of its kind in human history. We can ignore the illicit oil sales through Turkey, the extortion, the selling of antiquities. If we just look at the two raids on the Iraqi National Bank, ISIS walked away with $823 million in cash. That's the equivalent to 1,609 11s. So that by itself makes it preeminent. Thirdly, it's recruiting figures, stunning recruiting figures. In 9 months, it recruited more than 19,000 foreign fighters. So that's in excess of the Syrians and the Iraqis. That's Brits, Americans, Australians. That is a stunning capacity to recruit that Al-Qaeda never came close to. And then we have, of course, last, as we've mentioned already, the thing that really makes it special is that unlike the Muslim Brotherhood, unlike Al-Qaeda, it has finally managed after 90 years to create the caliphate. This is something that the other threat groups had wanted to do but had failed. ISIS actually made it a reality.
Give us in 1 minute, if you can, Seb, your prescription for what you do about a threat vector with these characteristics.
Well, firstly, we have to make sure that the fight on the ground is happening. This can only be accomplished by redeploying our advisors, our trainers. So we have to have the border troops that were removed by the president have to be put back in place. The people who really could defeat IS, like the Egyptians, have to be convinced of our support of their campaign. But the larger part is everything that you've talked about, Frank, for so long, and that's the counter-ideological campaign. That's when we take the fight to the enemy on the strategic level where they recruit. We have to count, just as we counted the legitimacy of communism, undermined it and said, look, this is a totalitarian ideology that everybody must reject. The same must be done for global jihadism. But we haven't even begun to scratch the surface in the last 14 years. It would be nice to do so finally.
Yeah, well, you've got to accept that there is such an ideology, as you say so well, Seb Gorka, that is at our throats and therefore must be defeated if you're going to have any chance of actually accomplishing it. Dr. Sebastian Gorka, it is a delight to talk with you, as always, from the Marine Corps University and the Gorka Brief. Check it out at thegorkabriefing.com. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your vacation and come back to us again very soon. I hope the rest of you will join us again Monday, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.